Your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. Now, this isn't going to be a complete reading of this chapter. We're borrowing from two segments here, Galatians 3, 6 through 14, and Galatians 3, 21 through 26. So I begin now with verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We now go to verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise of faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. We end our reading there. And the complexity of how many things Paul is dealing with concerning the churches in the area of Galatia, he's really accomplishing a lot of things. Our job this morning is to pull out just certain aspects. We're calling this Christ and the law. But we're just tapping in on this tremendous portion of Scripture. It's not a full exposition of this chapter. I won't even call it a full exposition of the verses I picked, but we can easily make our points here and move on to the purpose of the law. Galatians 3, verses 6 through 9, we saw that God established through Abraham that we can only be justified by faith, not by works. This will extend from the descendants of Abraham to eventually people from all families of the earth. Okay, so before the law came, I think it's 430 years, God justified Abraham because he believed God. It says God imputed that unto him for righteousness. So he saved him by faith. And the works that Abraham did were afterwards, their confirmation of his faith. We got to keep these things in the correct order. Faith must be first. Works will follow if they're done in faith. If we do works in the strength of the flesh, motivated by a fear of condemnation, we are still under the curse. Well, verses 10 through 12 of Galatians 3. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Think about it. You don't just get to pick and choose. If you're going to go the route of being justified by works, you got to do all of it, not just part of it. It's like if you were hanging from a high place by a chain and just one link broke. That's all it would take to go down. Just break one commandment of God and you're done. And so God never intended this to be a way of justification. And I don't want to get ahead of myself because some of these other verses are going to explain it quite well. But if we go the works route, saying the law is the way of salvation, then we have to keep it all or we're cursed. And we can't keep it all, so we are cursed. And the weight of that curse is to drive us in a direction looking for grace and mercy, which I'll get to. But since all men have failed to keep the law, then nobody can be justified by the works of the law. Verses 13 and 14, since we're talking about the curse, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. We've been purchased, bought back from sin, bought back from the curse, because he was made a curse for us. And we know this because he quotes, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. A tree has to do with the cross. It's another way of describing it. When Jesus went to the cross, he was cursed. He was cursed. God poured out his wrath on him, spared him not, Romans 8 says. Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he is actually pointing us to Psalm 22, where those very words bring that psalm in verse 1. But by the time you get to verse 3 in Psalm 22, the answer is, thou art holy. The holiness of God caused him so that he could not even look favorably on his son when our sins were laid upon him. He was always pleased with his son. The Son of God always did that which was pleasing in his sight. And though he took pleasure in him, our sins laid on him, made him filthy to God, and God spared him not, and he cursed him, and he laid the iniquity of us all upon him. And that shows his great sacrificial love, doesn't it? Now we can be saved by grace through faith, because Jesus, who did no sin, took on the sin for us, paid the price for us, and now we can have forgiveness and we can have a clean record before God when we come unto God by Jesus Christ. Now that takes us on to verse 21 through 24. Is the law then against the promises of God? Now this is how some people get with the Bible. They pit Scripture against Scripture. And those who emphasize salvation by works are doing terrible things to the doctrine of grace. And sometimes people who teach grace turn it into an awful license to sin because they disregard the law. But the law is good. It's just and holy and good. And we uphold the standard that God gave in the law. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, I came to fulfill it. And so on one hand, we hold up the law as from God, then we hold up grace as from God. And it, to some people, these are working cross purposes, but they're not. And Paul's going to explain that. Now, if there had been a law given, verse 21 says, if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily, truly, righteousness should have been by the law, and we wouldn't need the cross, would we? If there was some system of works, God would say, that's it then. And Jesus would just say, I'll see you later when I'm your judge. But no, God had this wonderful way of putting these things together for us. The law did its job. Now the Son of God will do his job by the work on the cross. Well, verse 22 says, the Scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Okay, it's a setup. You know, I don't know why I'm thinking of volleyball here, but I can't remember the words so well, but the one is you set and the other is spike. All right? The law set us up. Wait a minute, I'm not so good after all. I thought I'm keeping the law and going to all the festivals and we're doing the sacrifices and I'm patting myself on the back. And no, what a setup. This lifted up how sinful I really am. And now, grace says, gotcha. Now I'm going to arrest you and take you in for me. Bring you to the Son of God who can cleanse the filth because you'll never keep the law. The Son of God must keep it for you. First, by paying for the penalty, and secondly, by coming inside of your life to overcome the power of sin, the deceptive power of sin. Now, I go on to read verse 23, but before faith came, we were kept under the law. Now, kept under, it has the idea of holding us, kind of like protective custody. If Israel had been left in their own strength to just go around and keep the law and do the sacrifices, do the things in the, around the temple and whatever, well, actually, you can see what they did. They wandered constantly. They got caught up in idolatry and as well as adultery and many other sinful things. They went many times and sought help from other nations instead of going to God, and they wandered from his ways and they picked up the habits of others. Now, as bad as they were, what would it have been like if there was no law at all? See, there's always a faithful remnant that says, no, we're holding true to this. And there were always people that repented when God chastised them, and they said, no, we're coming back to this. Well, the law was like being put in protective custody, lest they go completely to the world and get completely assimilated by the world. The law kept them God's people of promise. And because of that, we have scriptures. We have the Holy Bible. Because of that, we have the pure line of Christ. Our Savior came from them. The law was holding them together so that the big thing could finally take place. Not shut up from the faith, but shut up unto the faith. Verse 23 says, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The law more or less said, come on, son, you've been erring, you've been sinning, and you need the grace. Now, the way the law did that, number one, revealed what sin is by showing us the commandments. But there's another aspect of the law, the ceremonial law, that showed how holiness could be obtained. And it was always by the shedding of blood. Innocent blood shed for the guilty. Now, if they really had gotten it right, they would have been looking for the Savior, the Messiah, to come and do that other act. They had their many lambs, but one day John the Baptist would stand before them and say, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Not just the yearly sins, the daily sins of Israel for a while, and then you'll do it again and you'll do it again. This is a take away the sins, not postponement, take away. And not just Israel, but for all the families of the earth. The sins of the world. Some have seen it. Some are yet to see it. But to see the law's wonderful purpose of getting us to the end of ourselves and taking us to Jesus, who can do the surgery and actually change our hearts, which the law could never do. And after faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. Technically, legally, we're not under the law. That doesn't mean we're lawless, though. And I like to say this, in Galatians, doesn't say it in exactly these words, but it goes on to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. And this is not acts of the flesh. This is the Spirit of Christ working in me and through me to fulfill the righteousness God wants me to have in my life, actively have it and do those things. And so, in a sense, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And then secondly, the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to the Holy Spirit. Because you'll find out quickly, if you just go off on your high octane energy, your enthusiasm, you'll fall, you'll waver. And that's kind of what Galatians is talking about in the more complexity of this. You've begun in the Spirit, how now are you made perfect by the flesh? Bunch of teachers were trying to say, well, Jesus is great, but now we've got to get back to the law. You guys need to get circumcised and back, and God says, forward, forward, forward. And Jesus is enough. He's more than enough. The Spirit of Christ is enough. He's more than enough. And Galatians is to guide Christians who are being tempted to go back to faulty religion and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit instead. Dependence on Christ for our justification. Dependent on Christ and His Spirit for sanctification. The law was never intended to give people a right standing with God. Rather, by showing us our sin, the law directed us to Christ so that we could seek His mercy, His grace, and forgiveness by faith. And those last two verses, 25 and 26, "But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Having a right standing with God by faith in Christ, we do not seek the law for justification. Rather, God's Spirit living in us will direct us to walk according to God's will. And I've got some great references there I hope you'll pursue. But for the sake of today's presentation, I want to leave that there. And I want to give you a little bit of what we talked about with Kids Club. Before we even start on what the commandments were, the question was, why were they given? Okay, the Ten Commandments are more than rules to control us. The law is one of God's ways to teach us. So the story of Israel, back there in bondage to Egypt, the Egyptians were not only cruel masters, but they were also spiritually blind, not knowing God. They worshipped 3,000 gods. That's enough for one for each town in Egypt. When God delivered Israel out of Egypt, He not only delivered them from physical slavery, but also from spiritual slavery. Consider how Satan has controlled people in a type of bondage, a type of slavery. Those who do not know Christ are under the bondage of Satan's deception and the lust of the flesh and of the eyes and of the pride of life. And God had to show Israel what He was like and how to live for Him and not live for false gods or for the will of men who do not know God. He had to show them which way is up and which way is down. Hence, the Ten Commandments was an introduction. Okay, the Ten Commandments show us what God is like. God is holy. He's different than other gods, religions, philosophies. He's eternal, perfect, all-powerful, all-knowing. He hates all sin. God is good. He is righteous and pure. God is love. He is merciful, loving, and forgiving. When God delivered Israel from Egypt, He was delivering them not just from the hard lifestyle of slavery. He was delivering them from sin and spiritual darkness. The Ten Commandments show us what God wants. God wants us to be holy like Him. He wants us to be different than others. He wants us to march to the sound of His drumbeat. God wants us to be good, to speak and live well, to have godly, productive lives that are not ruined by sin. Now, one illustration we use is you're going into the woods. You better be careful. And I'm not talking about the lions and tigers and bears. But you see some pretty berries. They might not be so good for you. They might not be edible. They might be poisonous. They might look lovely. But we warn you not to eat those berries because they could poison you, kill you. There's been stories of people going off to live off the land and they get mixed up and they eat the wrong thing and they poison themselves. Well, I want you to think about God's commandments as like warning you about the poison that's in this world. Don't buy that. Don't eat that. Don't swallow that. And there's a whole lot of things the world's offering, and they can make it look so good, and there's a variety and so forth. But God shines clear light on this, and it's for our good. He's not just bossing us around because He's God. He's trying to deliver us from the ruination of sin and ignorance. God wants us to be filled with His love, controlled by His love, not be selfish, but rather be kind, caring, giving. God wants us to come to His Son, Jesus Christ. The law, our schoolmaster, brings us to Christ. And Christ takes over from there. Christ doesn't make us lawless. He puts a law within our heart. It's not written on a table of stone. It's written on the flesh of the heart. He makes it a part of us. And we agree with Him. And we love Him. And we trust Him. And we submit to Him. And it's not always all at once, is it? Ups and downs and so forth. But because Jesus has paid it all, Jesus got all the time He wants to make us more and more conform to the image of Christ, which it is the last point of this part of the message is that after we have come to a son and are justified, we now come to a son to be sanctified. God wants us to walk with his son and to become like his son. Come unto me, Jesus said, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. If he's yoked with us, the awful hard things that of before don't get so hard. His commandments are not grievous. We can say with Paul, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. Christ lives in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Father, please help us to appreciate the law. We know there's much more could be said about the law. Much more could be said about grace. But one thing we know is Jesus Christ came to deliver us from the curse of the law. Jesus Christ, Lord, came to pick us up after the law slew us. After we've tried that and it doesn't work and we're ready to give up, here comes Jesus with his mercy, with his grace, with his sacrificial love. And what he did on the cross, Lord, nobody else ever did that or would do that for me. But Jesus did it for me. And I thank you that his grace was greater than our sins. So he rose from the dead and he's alive now to receive us and to live in us and to prepare us for service in this life and for the future home in heaven. We thank you that Jesus paid it all. Please bless us now as we continue in our singing of your grace. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.